This week on Vaticano, we look back at the first month of Pope Leo XIV's papacy and his early steps as leader of the Church. The Pontifical Mission Society gathers in Rome and meets with the Holy Father. Families from around the world unite in faith during the Jubilee of Families. We sit down with Cardinal Ake and shine a light on the dedication of the Catholic Grandparents Association. Vaticano starts now.
Habemus Papam.
The world held its breath when Cardinal Dominique Mamberti entered the loggia of St. Peter's Basilica on May the 8th, 2025, and said the words that 1.4 billion Catholics had been waiting for.
Dominum Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Prevost.
Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost was elected the new pope. He took the name Leo XIV.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
One day after his election, Leo XIV celebrates his first Holy Mass as the new pontiff in the Sistine Chapel. In his sermon, he focuses on Christ and emphasizes the importance of evangelization. The next day, he meets with the cardinals and thanks them for their service and support. On Sunday, 3 days after his election, Pope Leo XIV once again appeared before the faithful in St. Peter's Square. He sang the Regina Celi from the loggia.
Alleluia. Oggi dunque, fratelli e sorelle, ho la gioia di pregare.
Today, brothers and sisters, I therefore have the joy of praying with you and all the people of God for vocations, especially those to the priesthood and consecrated life.
La Chiesa ne ha tanto bisogno.
The Church has such a great need for them. It is important that young men and women on their vocational journey find acceptance, listening, and encouragement in their communities, and that they can look up to credible models of generous dedication to God and to their brothers and sisters.
In the afternoon, Pope Leo removed the seal on the papal apartment of the Apostolic Palace, which was placed there after the death of Pope Francis. Leo's papacy was officially inaugurated on May the 18th. At the ceremony, he was presented with the pallium and the fisherman's ring.
I was chosen without any merit of my own. And now, with fear and trembling, I come to you as a brother. Desires to be the servant of your faith and your joy.
Camminando con voi.
Walking with you on the path of God's love. For he wants us all to be united in one family. Love and unity. These are the two dimensions of the mission entrusted to Peter by Jesus.
On May the 25th, Pope Leo officially took possession of the Lateran Basilica. It's the highest-ranking church and the episcopal seat of the Bishop of Rome. He also visited the other papal basilicas of St. Mary Major and St. Paul's outside the walls. In the last week of May, Pope Leo took part in the Jubilee of Families, Children, Grandparents, and the Elderly.
For this reason, with a heart filled with gratitude and hope, I would remind all married couples that marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman, a love that is total, faithful, and fruitful.
Fedele, fecondo.
This love makes one flesh and enables you, in the image of God, to bestow the gift of life.
A immagine di Dio. Di donare la vita.
On June the 8th, the Church celebrates Pentecost. This not only marks the end of Easter, but also the end of the first month with Pope Leo XIV. Leaders of the Pontifical Mission Societies recently gathered in Rome for their annual assembly. Supporting Catholic missions in over 120 countries, their work raises prayer, awareness, and funds to help churches where the faith is new or faces challenges. Throughout the assembly, mission directors exchanged stories and discussed how to inspire a new generation to embrace the missionary call. On May the 22nd, the group was welcomed by Pope Leo XIV, a historic and deeply personal moment for many meeting the Pope for the first time.
The appreciation of our communion is...
Pope Leo addressed the group in English, thanking them for their work and highlighting the importance of unity and universality.
I would conclude by encouraging you to continue to be missionaries of hope among all peoples.
So his message was fundamentally gratitude for the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies throughout the globe. He particularly said how important our work is with regard to World Mission Sunday to help him complete his work as the chief missionary in the church and supporting those churches that are too young, too poor, or too persecuted to be self-sustaining.
The Pontifical Mission Societies are engaged in all over the world, in every diocese of the world, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, all over. And our mission is to promote and help bring about a stronger missionary spirit in the hearts of all the baptized, in the hearts of the bishops, priests, religious, and lay people all over the world, so that they have a sense and a desire to evangelize by their witness of their lives, and then to share of their goods for their poorer brothers and sisters who need the help to maintain or establish and develop ecclesial infrastructures in young churches.
Father Karl Wallner from Austria had a special encounter with the new pope.
When I met him, I was really nervous. I've been with so many popes, but this time I was really nervous because I gave him a big book, yeah, with prayers and wishes. More thousands of people have written it, and we made a book out of it. And then I was so nervous. And when I see the photos now, he was smiling. Yeah, that makes me very happy because I was so nervous that then I didn't give the book to him after the photo. I gave it directly to his secretary, and he said he looked. And then he said, thank you very much.
The assembly closed with a renewed spirit of unity and mission. One family reaching out to the world. Up next on Vaticano, the Jubilee of Families. A solemn mass and an extended tour of St. Peter's Square in the Popemobile, blessing children and greeting crowds of faithful, Pope Leo concluded the three-day celebration of the Jubilee of Families, Children, Grandparents, and the Elderly.
In familia, la fede si trasmette...
The family is where faith is handed down from generation to generation. It is shared like food at the family table and like love in our hearts. Therefore, the family is a privileged place to meet Jesus.
More than 70,000 people from over 130 countries gathered in Rome in different parishes, divided by language groups and countries, for the days of celebration to share a time of joy, prayer, and a deep sense of community. Among the many pilgrims was Agnieszka from Poland, who traveled to Rome with her family.
We both grew up in a community. We come from the movement Light and Life and have been part of this since we were children. So for us, the community is a natural environment for constant growth. And what I feel being here in this community, let me say it dramatically, is built on the foundation of the apostles.
In a world so often divided by conflict and disagreement, Pope Leo presided over the Jubilee Mass, inviting families to root their love in Christ and become a living sign of peace for the world. Families are the cradle of the future of humanity, the Pope said, and this is what the Church needs most now.
We have to look at where society actually gets its strength from, and that is from the family, the community of the family. It's not just father, mother, and the children. It's the extended family, grandparents, grandchildren. It's the whole family unit that needs to be strengthened.
Cardinal Napier shared this reflection during the Catholic Grandparents Association meeting, held just days before the Jubilee of Families began, offering a uniquely African perspective on the Church's call to support the domestic Church. The Jubilee culminated in 3 days of joyful celebration in Rome from May the 30th to June the 1st. Families from around the globe took part in concerts, shows, games for children, and a Jubilee pilgrimage through the Holy Door, complete with confession, prayer, and celebration in Rome's sacred spaces.
I'm 21 years old. I'm from France, from the countryside of France. I'm with my mother for the family Jubilee. It's important for me to come here.
On Friday, families gathered in the Church of Santa Trinità dei Monti, where the relics of St. Thérèse of Lisieux and her parents were exposed for veneration. The Pope mentioned them on Sunday as examples for today's world, along with the Polish Ulma family, brutally killed by Nazis during World War II. On Saturday, in the square outside St. John Lateran, the family festival and prayer vigil took place, with recitation of the rosary to close the Marian month of May. On the occasion, the Pontifical Foundation Aid to the Church in Need distributed 10,000 copies of the special edition of the Child's Bible in 5 languages. The Bible can be a great tool for revitalizing faith within the family and is a meeting point between generations, including all its members, especially grandparents. Pope Leo placed an emphasis on the elderly, giving them the task to watch over their loved ones with wisdom and compassion. And during the Regina Celi, he greeted the elderly with particular kindness.
A
special greeting to grandparents and elders. You are genuine models of faith and inspiration for the younger generations.
The Jubilee of Families was an opportunity to pray for the future of all families and listen to the testimonies of faith and family life.
Every evening we kneel to pray all together, and this is the basis of prayer, to be together, to talk to each other, to pray, to talk, to listen, to be.
Some of the many young people present now in Rome with their parents and grandparents can't wait to come back soon for the Jubilee of Youth on July the 28th. Just steps from the Vatican, the third International Bioethics Conference, organized by the Jérôme Lejeune International Chair, gathered experts from around the world to explore science, truth, and the ethical challenges of contemporary medicine. This year, Cardinal Willem Jacobus Eijk was among the key participants.
Theology and philosophy are not considered as sciences, as scientific. But theology and philosophy can yield real metaphysical truth, but you have to recognize it. And for this, of course, we have to rediscover the true meaning of human reason. That means that life is an intrinsic value and not only an instrumental value. On the basis of empirist philosophy, you cannot discover the essence of things, the being of things, the truth concerning moral norms and moral values. That's impossible. For this, you have to recognize that human reason is capable of knowing metaphysical truth.
The Jubilee of the Families is happening also right now here in Rome. Many families will be coming to the Eternal City also for their own pilgrimage through the Holy Doors here during this holy year. What is your recommendation for a family today? How do they stay together? How is it possible to lead a good family life?
Very important to foster family life. Now, many members of the family are living as individuals with their own networks, you know. I think it is very important to have, for instance, common meals. Because during meals, parents talk with their children. But then they can teach their children. A very big part of education is given during meals. But when people are not eating together anymore in the family, you lose these important moments. And I think what is very important, family, that is common prayer. Praying together before the meal, after the meal, at the beginning of the day, by the end of the day, like we did in the past. And that, of course, will help young children to form a personal relationship with Christ. That will, you know, give them a Christian formation, a Christian education. And therefore, you give them a very solid fundament for a future life. Because when you pray with your children, also adolescents, many people choose the religion or the philosophy of life they'll have for the whole of his life during adolescence. And then we have to be present with our, you know, transmission of the faith.
What role does the family play for the church?
I think a very important role. Because, you know, the first teachers of religions are not priests or teachers schools, but they're the parents. When they are faithful, they're going to church. They bring their little children with them. Also, when children do not understand yet what is going on in church, they feel the sacrality of the atmosphere, you know? They see others praying, they see their parents praying. And that's an example we should give to our children. And therefore I said during preparatory courses for marriage, we have to teach young couples to pray, because then they can teach this to their children. And that is very important that young parents talk with their children about faith, and that they pray with their children. Because then they will help them to be true followers of Christ.
Your Eminence, thank you so much for your time being with us.
Thank you, and God bless.
Up next on Vaticano, take a closer look at how the Catholic Grandparents Association is supporting families in faith.
One of the features of the Old Testament is the blessing that was promised to families, and was said the blessing is to the third and fourth generation. Now, if you analyze that a little bit, it's going to be the grandparents, the parents, the children, and then the grandchildren.
High above the calm waters of Lake Albano, just outside of Rome, the picturesque town of Castel Gandolfo played host to a special conference of the Catholic Grandparents Association.
It was two concepts.
Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier of South Africa was one of the keynote speakers, who praised the vital role grandparents play, especially in societies where parents must work far from home.
In South Africa, it is that in most families, the father and mother are away working. They have to go to, just for survival, they have to go and work. So grandmother, generally the grandmother or grandparents in some cases, are the ones who are bringing up the young children. Now, they can do a certain job to a point, but children need to emulate their parents.
Yes.
And that's where I think we need to have Grandparents Association developing in such a way that it brings in the parents much more, and helps to stabilize parents where they are in a difficult situation. So it seems to be an answer to a certain need that's developed in modern society.
The Catholic Grandparents Association was officially launched in 2009 by Catherine Wiley.
The Catholic Grandparents Association is a simply all-encompassing name, but the mission of the Catholic Grandparents Association is to help grandparents to pass on the faith and to keep prayer at the heart of family life. And it wasn't until I became a grandparent that I realized that my faith, which is very precious to me, which has sustained me all my life, in all the ups and downs of my life, when my first grandchildren were born, I was absolutely devastated, really, to find out that they weren't going to be baptized.
That moment of heartbreak was the beginning of something much bigger, and the association today has grown into a global network, now with members on every continent.
There was a great need for a grandparents' association to bring parents together, to help them, to share with them and support them in trying to pass on the faith, which is very difficult in a hostile world. So we've organized the very first pilgrimage for grandparents. We also have a faith cafe, which takes place every month, which is people from all over the world joined by Zoom. And we're working hard with the Dicastery in Rome to establish ministries for grandparents in every diocese and every parish throughout the world.
Catherine and the association were successful in asking Pope Benedict XVI to write a prayer for the elderly. And upon their request, Pope Francis announced July the 28th as the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Another one of the conference's keynote speakers was Professor Gabriela Gambino, Undersecretary at the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life.
I was talking about the importance of the mission of the elderly in the church and in society. This is very important nowadays, where the discharged culture often puts the elderly out of society, out of families, and out of the church many times. Every baptized person has a mission in the church along the whole life, and we are all called to live a fullness in Christ. If they are aware of that, they can give a great contribution in the church to the evangelization of new generations. They can pass on the faith, they pass on the memory that is the consciousness of belonging to a father. The generativity of the elderly is something that we have to be aware of in the church and in the society.
As the conference came to a close, there was a spirit of renewed mission and deep gratitude, especially from the woman who began it all.
The aim is to support grandparents, to acknowledge them, to validate them, to encourage them, just to realize that they have a vocation. The vocation of a grandparent is to pass on the faith. And please God, in this year of hope, I have every hope that we will, because grandparents never give up hope.